What if I told you that the greatest threat to human civilization isn't nuclear war or pandemics, but something we're actively creating every day? Climate change isn't a distant threat. It's unfolding with terrifying velocity. Most carbon emissions have occurred just in the past 3 decades, meaning we've done more damage knowingly than in all our ignorant history. We're adding carbon 10 times faster than during any previous extinction event, 100 times faster than before industrialization began. This catastrophe has unfolded within a single human lifetime. When David Wallace Wells's father was born in 1938, the climate seemed stable. By his death in 2016, we had crossed the 400 parts per million carbon threshold scientists had marked as catastrophic. Despite climate advocacy, we've produced more emissions in the 20 years since Kyoto than in the 20 before. 2 degrees of warming, once considered catastrophic, now looks like a best-case scenario. The UN reports that even if we implement all Paris Accord commitments, which we haven't, we're likely to reach 3.2 degrees of warming, 3 times what we've experienced since industrialization began. At 2 degrees, ice sheets collapse, 400 million more suffer water scarcity, and equatorial cities become unlivable. At 4 degrees, we face annual global food crises and $600 trillion in damages, twice today's global wealth. Climate change isn't just causing isolated disasters. It's our new environmental reality. Hurricanes, wildfires, and other extreme events are more numerous and powerful because they unfold in weather systems we've destabilized. These assaults won't be discrete events, but cascading catastrophes. In Santa Barbara County in 2018, a wildfire was followed by 3 evacuation orders for resulting mudslides. More than 12 people died, including a toddler swept out to sea. Climate cascades multiply through various feedback loops. Melting Arctic ice reduces sunlight reflection, thawing permafrost releases methane, and dying forests absorb less carbon. Other cascades directly impact communities. Human-triggered avalanches, rain-on-snow floods, and water shortages creating climate refugees. This crisis disproportionately affects those least equipped to respond, creating a climate caste system both within wealthy nations and globally. Lower GDP countries will experience more warming despite contributing least to emissions. Just when unprecedented international cooperation is needed, we're retreating into nationalism, a collapse of trust that becomes its own cascade. Humans function as heat engines, requiring constant cooling. Without it, life expectancy drops dramatically, from years to mere weeks. The narrow temperature range that supports life, a Goldilocks zone, we've now left behind, likely permanently. The question of how much hotter Earth will get isn't primarily scientific, but political. Despite 3/4 of a century of awareness, we've made no meaningful adjustments to our energy production or consumption. Current projections show we'll pass 1.5 degrees by 2040. Staying below 2 degrees would require not just emissions reduction, but negative emissions technologies that remain largely theoretical. Carbon capture would require building 1.5 plants daily for 70 years. As of 2018, only 18 existed worldwide. Cities magnify heat problems through the heat island effect, concrete and asphalt absorbing heat and raising local temperatures by up to 22 degrees Fahrenheit at night. With 2/3 of humanity projected to live in cities by 2050, this presents catastrophic risks. By mid-century, cities with average summer temperatures above 95°F will nearly triple to 970, exposing 1.6 billion people. Heat death is cruel, beginning with exhaustion and dehydration, progressing to organ failure, brain dysfunction, and often culminating in heart attack. The basic rule for staple crops is devastating. For every degree of warming, yields decline by approximately 10%. with projections of 5 degrees warming and 50% population growth by century's end, we could face half the grain production with far more people to feed. While optimists suggest warming might enable new northern growing regions, current grain-producing areas already operate at optimal temperatures. Any warming reduces productivity. At 4 degrees warming, U.S. corn yields could drop by almost half. The theory that increased atmospheric carbon would act as fertilizer has proven false for grain crops. Plants develop thicker leaves that absorb less CO2, while climate change brings increased insect activity, fungus, disease, and flooding. The cruel irony is that graphs showing developing nations' progress mirror the rise in carbon emissions, threatening global catastrophe. Food production already accounts for about a third of all emissions. By 2080, regions across southern Europe, the Middle East, Australia, Africa, South America, and China will face permanent extreme drought. Simultaneously, carbon dioxide is making plants less nutritious even as they grow larger, the Great Nutrient Collapse. By 2050, this could put 150 million people at risk of protein deficiency and 1.4 billion facing iron deficiency. Without emissions reduction, we face 4 to 8 feet of sea level rise by century's end. Even meeting the Paris 2-degree target could still result in 6 feet of rise by 2100. This inundation will claim countless landmarks: Facebook's headquarters, the Kennedy Space Center, America's largest naval base, the Maldives and Marshall Islands, most of Bangladesh, Miami Beach, Venice's St. Mark's Basilica, Los Angeles beaches, and even the White House. By 2100, without halting emissions, 5% of the world population will flood annually. Jakarta could be underwater by 2050. China already evacuates hundreds of thousands from Pearl River Delta flooding each summer. The internet's infrastructure faces submersion within 2 decades, while 311,000 American homes face chronic flooding by 2045, growing to 2.4 million properties worth $1 trillion by century's end. The flooding won't stop in 2100. Seas will rise for millennia. Two-thirds of major cities are coastal, and flooding has already quadrupled since 1980. Even with aggressive emissions reduction, global rainfall will increase dramatically, doubling South American flood victims to 12 million, while Africa grows from 24 to 35 million affected, and Asia from 70 to 156 million. Climate change has transformed global warming from an ecological disaster into a high-stakes wager on the legitimacy of science itself. The warming we observe matches precisely what greenhouse effect theories established in the 1850s predicted, playing out in rising seas, intensifying storms, and melting ice caps. While fatalism tempts us during ecological crisis, our existence as conscious observers suggests both responsibility and capability to address this challenge. Humans have already demonstrated remarkable capacity for global coordination, eradicating smallpox, creating the internet, landing on the moon. The path we're on should terrify anyone, but all relevant inputs remain within our control. Unlike Oppenheimer becoming death destroyer of worlds, we face a more total threat yet possess all tools needed to stop it. Carbon taxes, agricultural reform, dietary shifts toward plant-based alternatives, and massive investments in renewable energy. The solutions are obvious and available. Working models already exist. Denmark's wind power revolution, Costa Rica's forest restoration, Norway's electric vehicle adoption. We can choose our metaphor, but not our planet. This pale blue dot remains our only home. The choice is not whether to act, but how quickly and decisively we will do so.